today I wanted to go backwards a little bit and remind us of some of the things that came out over these weeks as we were imagining church. And so when we started, one of the first things that, it was a weird scripture passage to start with because it was all about how to deal with conflicts. But essentially, the first one is this whole idea that relationships are more important than anything else. That our relationships with each other are more important than winning in a fight. Relationships are more important than being served by other people. Relationships are more important than just about anything that might distract us or pull us apart or take over. Those relationships with each other are foundational. So can you imagine a church in which the relationships are such that the community can gather around a conflict, confront the one who's done wrong, and remain strong? Even if you're the one at fault, those relationships are so important. Then rather some kind of conflict or disagreement or different way of seeing things tearing apart, which it often does in churches and communities of all kinds. Can you imagine a church in which the relationships were so strong that they mattered more than the fight, than the conflict, than the winning, whatever it is? The next week, we had a guest here, Tanya, and she had a really clear message about forgiveness, which flowed into from that whole idea of conflict, that forgiveness is not an option. And she had lots of ways that she came to that, but in a church, as we imagine the church going forward, we have to imagine that forgiveness is not an option, by which we don't mean you're not allowed to forgive. What we do mean is you're not allowed to not forgive, if that helps. Like if somebody causes you pain or you're hurt by something, just walking away or just pretending it didn't happen or just holding on to it and stewing over it and bringing it up over and over again, not an option for the church to be the church. Forgiveness has to be the thing that we hold on to. The next week, we talked a lot about unity and diversity in the unity, but really what it has to do with is humility, that everything's grounded in humility. And humility being not the same as humiliation, but humility being about seeing the other person as perhaps more, not necessarily more important, but putting the other ahead of ourselves. And so that I say, oh, as these relationships are so important and I'm getting to know you better because I'm investing in the relationships, then I have a sense of what it is that you need. And so instead of saying, oh, hey, why isn't anybody taking care of me and all the things that I need? It's about, oh, what is it that this person needs? And that the church is called to be one. But also diversity. In Revelation 7, there's this beautiful, beautiful image of the throne room of God where all of the nations are gathered around the throne of God worshiping together. And for me, that is one of the most beautiful things about if we think about the church embodying what that throne room is going to be one day, and how do you get all the people from all the nations gathering in one place, joined together in worship, united in the worship of God, united because together we are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. How do we get there, right? And it's humility is the key to that. It's being humble enough to see the strengths and the gifts of the other people around us in all of that. We had another guest, David, and his message was also pretty straightforward. Everything we do has to be grounded in love. And that is not at odds with all the other ones that we've seen so far, that love really is the foundation of everything. Love for each other and love for God, both ways. We talk about the vertical, us and God, and us and each other. That if everything is built on this foundation of loving God and loving each other, everything else flows out of that. Can you imagine a church that really genuinely is grounded foundation stone of love? And then Renee came and she talked about these wells in the desert. She talked about how in the desert you come across these wells, these places for healing, for rest, for have your thirst quenched, all of those things. And she invited us to imagine what the church would be if we thought of it in terms of being a well in the desert. she brought up Isaiah and people whose hands are tired, whose knees are weak, whose hearts are fearful, and that all around us, in the church itself, but all around the neighbors that are around our church, the people that we work with, that we live beside, that we buy groceries from, whoever it is, all the people around us know their own deserts. And can you imagine if the church and we who are the church were a well, a place of rest and refreshment and healing and hope in the desert of people's lives? We were reminded that Christ is everything. We were challenged. What would it be like if being like Christ was the deepest desire for all of us? If that whole idea of being like Jesus was the deepest desire of me, of you, but also of us collectively, how would that impact what the church looks like, what the church was like? In line with that, we talked about living our faith, the church being people who are genuinely living their faith, who are people of joy, of gentleness, of hope, of thanksgiving. We read from Philippians that beautiful verse, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. When you pray, I'm going to get the words wrong, but in all things, in supplication and thanksgiving, right? Give thanks for everything as you're praying. What if we were people who were known as being people who were actually living our faith as we gathered together and as we were out living our lives that aren't here in the gathering together? And I think all those other parts that we've talked about fit under that heading of living our faith, of wanting to be like Jesus at the deepest parts of ourselves. Last week, Heather used the word together. She said, my sermon is really just together. And she challenged with the idea that that being a Christian all by myself is not really being a Christian. Because right in the definition of what it means to be a Christian is being part of the faith community, is being together, that we grow into spiritual maturity together, that together we worship, that together we are the body of Christ, that together we impact the world around us. You know, a few weeks ago, we had like the candlelight, right? And we talk about like, hey, being light. And if there's already light shining, it's hard to see it. But there's a song. I can't remember what the song is. But the idea is I take my little candle and you take yours and put it together. And the light gets bigger and the light gets bigger and the light gets bigger. And so if we're to be the light in the world, we do that by being it together. And so all of those things, all of those pieces are things that we've talked about in terms of being the church. The scripture passages, I've chosen three different short passages of scripture that I don't think tell us anything terribly different from all of these things that we've imagined so far. But before I read those scriptures for us, I just wanted to take a moment and give you all a chance to look at those. And we don't do this often, and you don't have to do this, but I also want to give an opportunity. If there's something, as we kind of went through that, or you're thinking back over the last weeks, is there something that maybe you went, oh, that one really strikes me, or that made me think of this when I imagine the church? I just want to take a few moments and allow an opportunity for it not just to be me speaking, but anybody else who has any thoughts. It doesn't have to be deep and wise. And is there one of those things that really struck you more than the others? Let me just give you a moment to think as you reflect on those things. I'm going to be leaving, hopefully, the painting, but also the other part in this room in a spot where I hope that you will reflect different weeks when you're here. And maybe something will occur to you. Maybe you've been through the week or on a Sunday morning that you go, oh, when I imagine church, this is a key piece of it. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, if that happens at that point, is write it down. I'm going to leave some colorful post-its here. Write it down and add it to the list of things so that we can be growing this. And I think as we continue to become the church that God is intending for us to become, all of those things, and as we think about it and as we read what other people have come up with and put it up there, I think that we'll all be impacted by a really beautiful vision and a beautiful dream of something that God is doing and something that he is inviting us to participate in with him. And in keeping with that, I want to start by reading from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 13. And it reads this way. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in him, the one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, rich or poor. You could add any of the different things that act as dichotomies in our society. And we were all made to drink of one spirit. That passage goes on. We're not going to read the whole part of it, but it goes on. And he talks about, like, listen, if you've got a body and the whole body is an eye, what good is that for, right? Like, that's, where's the smelling? Where's the feeling? Where's the hearing? And if you have a body and it's all an ear, what good is that, right? We need all the different parts of the body together to make up who we are as the church. And that fits with other things that we've talked about over the last weeks, and this idea of being, we are intentionally different. It's part of God's design that we are different. We are all created in God's image, and we are all, as much as can be packed into us, different bits and pieces of who God is and his character and his likeness. And so we are all very different, and it's when we all come together that we get a truer understanding of who God is, who this God is that's made us in his image. And it's a beautiful, beautiful metaphor. It gets used a few different times in the New Testament. Heather brought it up last week when she was preaching from Ephesians 4. It's in this from 1 Corinthians. It's also in Romans 12. And in all those places, Paul is using this image of, well, think about a body. And think about how all the different parts work together. And if one part is suffering, that affects the health of the whole. And so if we think about the church as a large, but if we think about Walmer as a body, you know, where do I fit in this body? Who am I in this body? And maybe if you're thinking, I'm nothing, I don't fit really, I've got nothing to offer, maybe you can spend some time this week reflecting from 1 Corinthians 12, and listening to the Apostle Paul say to you, that's not true. There's not one person who doesn't have a place, who doesn't have a belonging, who doesn't have something to offer. We are all together in this, and we need each other for this church to grow and be healthy. To me, the idea of a puzzle where there's all these different pieces and there's no edges is a metaphor for me that fits like a body image, and that they're all part of it. They all make it. The more pieces there are, the more different they are, the more beautiful it looks, and the more unique it is, depending on who the people are and how it all gets colored. To me, that's a beautiful image of the church. It fits another metaphor as like a tapestry. If you've ever seen a great big tapestry where there's lots and lots of different colored threads that are all woven through and they make beautiful pictures or different things like that, the idea is that we all are part of that beauty, of that thread, of that tapestry, of that puzzle, of the body. In Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 21, we read these words. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, Christ Jesus, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. In our part of the world, it's very popular to talk about our faith from an individualistic perspective. Your body is the temple of the Spirit, so you better take care of your body. And those of us who don't do great at taking care of our bodies just carry guilt around with us all the time because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Except that when we read this, we discover, if you want to know the grammar and the Greek and all of that, we discover that Paul isn't talking to an individual. He's not saying, hey, you, Jeremy, you are a temple of the Spirit. He's talking to a church as a whole. Together, as Heather reminded us last week, together you are the dwelling place for God. Together you are the holy temple. Together as fellow citizens, and I know for some of you that whole image of citizenship is really important. Together you are this. Imagine a church where we really understood ourselves to be fellow citizens, members of the household of God, truly, deeply a family built on Jesus Christ, together. And then we move a little bit further into the New Testament, into 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. And Peter writes these words, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." Listen to all those descriptors. Peter was writing to a church. Imagine he's writing to this church, to us sitting here right now. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Why? In order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Imagine church where we really believed these words about ourselves. Imagine church where we really believed that we were these things, chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's own people, so that we could proclaim the excellence of God, the beauty of God, because we carried it in the very essence of who we are as Christ's body, as citizens, as the family, the household of God. And so, as we leave this series, the question is not just when you imagine church, the body of Christ, the gathering of followers of Jesus, what do you imagine? All the things we've talked about, do you see space for you in that? What stands in the way for you? What are the barriers to what we imagine being realized? What are the open gateways towards what we imagine being realized? Are we interested in truly being the church, not just a mixed bag of followers of Jesus who happen to get together on a Sunday morning? We imagine church.